Hello, everyone, with The Last Thing Supper. This is David Hayward. Today I'm talking with Danielle Haynes, who is also a member of The Last Thing Supper from South Africa, now living in New Zealand and everywhere in between. So here she is, Danielle Haynes.
Hello, Danielle.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Yeah, so you're all the way over there in New Zealand and I'm all the way over here in Canada?
Yeah, so we kind of see the day before everyone else. So it's 10:30 at night now.
Yeah, it's 7:30 here, so it's 13 hours difference.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so how are you today?
Oh, good. I had a good day. I've got I just signed for a new place to live.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been in this unit for about 5 years now, but it's quite old. It's not insulated, okay. And the winters get very cold. And I've just been diagnosed with asthma.
Oh,
I've had this cough forever, and we finally know why. So I'm trying to find a place that's healthier.
Oh wow, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You mean the place you're living in is not? It's not insulated.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. New Zealand's kind of odd. It's I'm South African.
Oh, okay.
And New Zealand almost advertises itself as this really warm, you know, place. And it's almost like people have their mindset that they just built it with that in mind, that it doesn't get cold, but it gets really cold in winter.
Okay, how cold? How cold?
Oh, I mean, not Canadian cold, of course, but cold for me.
Okay. And does it get below freezing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
Oh, okay. Yeah that's cold by anybody's standards. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're just coming out of our coldest month, which is July.
Oh.
So, yeah. I see the magnolia trees are blooming, which is my favorite.
They're blooming now, and you just had your coldest month?
Yeah, they start quite early.
Wow, okay. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
After our coldest month, then we have the less cold month and then the less cold month and stuff. So we have a pretty deep winter that lasts several months. So.
Right.
Yeah. And then spring and fall are always very chilly. Nothing grows.
Right.
Mm. Anyway, Danielle Haynes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't realize you're from South Africa. What are you doing all the way over in New Zealand?
My parents immigrated.
Okay.
I lived in the UK for a while. I lived in London and then Scotland.
Uh-huh.
And my parents immigrated and didn't tell us. No, I'm kidding. They did tell us they were going. We followed, my brother and I followed. We were both in the UK.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of thought, it's another place to see in the world. But I've been here ever since. I'm a citizen now. I've got dual citizenship.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
So let's hop into how did you find TLS and why?
I actually found it on a friend. After school, I did this thing called Service Year for Christ, which is almost like a YWAM type thing.
Okay.
Where you go, you give a year of your life. And you go around the country, went into schools and did drama and adventure camps. And South Africa, there's a huge problem with AIDS. And we did AIDS education in the schools and... but always with this Christian message. And a friend, one of my good friends from that course, he is now at least in South Africa, he's quite a well-known worship singer or Christian contemporary artist or something. And I think he's still a Christian, but he posted something on his wall about, it was one of your cartoons. It was, why does the church make it so hard to leave?
Oh, okay.
And I think he was thinking of leaving his church or something.
Uh-huh.
And I just looked into it, and I saw you talked about TLS on your blog, I think.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was quite desperate because I've been looking on the internet, and everything just turns, like I said to you, it turns into a bun fight between Christians and atheists.
Right.
And I wanted something, somewhere where you could discuss and debate, but not be so nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's your relationship to the church now? Like, what happened there?
I'm a bit like you in that Christianity's kind of in my DNA.
Right.
I'm from South Africa's quite tribal, and I'm from a tribe that I'm Afrikaans speaking, white South African, and
right.
My tribe is Christian to the core, you know. It's kind of tricked
their Reformed? Oxbaggers.
Pardon?
Like Reformed?
Very Reformed, and they tricked in their Oxwagons with just this huge family Bible, and
right.
that was their guidance. And this, I'm talking about 350 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they were cut off from Europe, and so developed their own flavor of Christianity.
Right.
And they even did things like when they, at some point, they knew the Zulu nation was attacking. So they made a covenant with God, a very serious covenant, and they took it very seriously. If God helped them, they would do all these things. And they did win, and saw it as a miracle. And so we grew up with these stories. It's almost like this Old Testament faith, you know.
Yeah.
God helped our people. And then my family... My parents got saved in the 70s through some visiting evangelist.
Uh-huh.
And they were on their way to the Dutch Reformed Church on a Sunday. And just because that's kind of what people did. And my mum said, oh, I want to go to this evangelist instead. And they'd just been married, and my dad didn't want to leave her.
Uh-huh.
So he went with her, and they both were born again then.
Uh-huh.
On the Sunday. And when they told the Dutch Reformed minister called them in.
Uh-huh.
And said, I hear that you've joined a sect or a cult.
Oh.
Or something. And they said, no, we were just born again. So he asked them to leave because they didn't believe in that. They believed in sort of christening the baby and that.
Right.
Yeah. That gave the baby the right to go to heaven. And then you were confirmed as an 18-year-old into the church and became a member.
Yeah, very mainline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they... Oh, sorry, I'm quite nervous. I'm a journalist, so I'm usually the one interviewing. So
how did you, you grew up in an evangelical family?
Yeah, so they left this church, went to kind of like a shoot-off version of this church, of some group that had broken off.
Uh-huh.
And but then they decided they wanted to be baptized, and that minister asked them to leave. he was very disappointed in them. And then...
Wow.
They did the obvious thing and joined the Baptists because they wanted to be baptized.
Wow.
So they became Baptists, and my dad later on went to study to become a Baptist minister. So I was a pastor's kid.
Ah.
Yeah, so I was Baptist, yeah. And later on, when I was older, I... sort of became involved in more charismatic churches.
Right.
Yeah. So that's my story.
So do you go to a church now?
I don't. Uh-huh.
What was the last one you were a part of?
It was a church called City Bible Church in Hamilton, mm-hmm. where I live now. I don't know how... I'm not sure how I would describe them, but the reason I went was because they are very socially minded.
Right.
They do a lot in the heaps in the community and also abroad. Yeah, they do a lot of good things, so that's why I went.
Uh-huh.
I've always had quite a practical
right
Christianity.
So is it a large church or
For New Zealand, it's probably large. Yeah. Uh-huh. The only churches that would be bigger would be the really charismatic churches.
Mhm.
Yeah.
So why don't you go anymore? Why aren't you a part of it?
I think I stopped believing, and at some point I just thought.
Yeah.
The last time I went, I remember they showed some sort of movie type sermon in the form of a movie, and I just remember feeling, wow, this is a fairy tale. They spoke about uh-huh. God and the devil and how they sort of this tug of war between them, and I just felt, wow, I really don't believe this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably the last time I went.
Right.
But it's been really hard for me because my entire worldview has changed. I was I used to believe the Bible very literally.
Right.
Yeah, so it's been a struggle for me.
Uh-huh. How long have you been on this journey since that movie? How long has it been?
I think there have always been moments in my life where I questioned things but would just re-indoctrinate myself.
Right.
But about, I'd say my faith always fit me like a really snug glove uh-huh. until about two things happened, and it was before I turned 30, which is about 3 years ago.
Mm. Right.
I got involved in a relationship with a woman, and we were both in church and struggled with it because we were very charismatic
type, right,
or evangelical. I'm not sure what you'd call it, but I mean, they did conversion therapy and all of that. So, and I was afraid to go to hell and constantly thinking about it.
Right.
I'm quite an anxious person. And my thoughts tend to be, when I'm anxious, they'll just focus on that one thing.
Right.
And I was so afraid to go to hell. And then, anyway, that ended, and I went to South Africa back for the first time in about 5 years. And I had a big 30th birthday party, and it was cool, and everything was nice. Except my family had changed a lot, my cousins. Seem to have this very very traditional faith all of a sudden.
Right.
mm-hmm. Obviously not all of a sudden, but for someone who was away for 6 years, you know.
Yeah.
And it was very much that, you know, and I was told all these things like a woman's place is in the home and you have to find yourself a husband and serve him. And
I see, yeah.
Directly, I was told these things by people who I'd been very close to as children, and I felt quite disrespected, and I came back feeling disturbed. I felt, maybe they're right. Because of my anxious personality, I would always take that on and say, well, maybe they're right, maybe I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
maybe I am going to hell, you know, really
yeah.
exasperated. And then I would think, but if God, you know, my Jesus was always a feminist, you know, ever since I was little.
Right.
Because I always had feminist tendencies. I just read him as a feminist because he spoke to women on the street. And
right.
So who cares what Paul says or this one says, because Jesus is the role model, right? But yeah. Then they seemed to not see it that way. And I thought, but if That's right. Why would he give us this complex mine if we were just meant to be at home and have babies and that's it?
Yeah.
And, yeah, a lot of things like that. They sort of believe in faith healing, very word of faith, as in...
Yeah, so they'd be pretty mainline, evangelical, conservative, traditional mores and values, right? Concerning women.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we grew up with strong women in the family, so I was a little bit baffled as to how did this come about. But
to keep them under control.
Yeah.
Rein them in, you know.
Yeah. And then that baffled me as well, because they tell me you have to, God always heals. And even 2 years ago, a good friend of mine died. And if anyone, I mean, she had so many people pray for her.
Mm-hmm.
And when I told one of my cousins, she wouldn't even sympathize with me, because it somehow was my fault that I hadn't prayed in the right way, or...
Yeah.
And all of those things just made me think... I mean, there's so many things that did contribute, but...
Right. Well, I understand them all. But mm-hmm. how are you doing now? Like, what... how are you feeling about your faith or your belief or your spirituality or whatever?
It's been a really hard 3 years. But I am doing a lot better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
DLS has helped a lot.
Well, you know, from your contributions on the Last Saint Supper, you sound good to me. I mean, you know, there's no way we can really effectively expose everything that we're going through, you know, in one post or whatever. But I do get your anxiety kind of thing, and you're fixating on a certain thought or whatever that can be troublesome. But you sound like you're doing well to me. Do you think you're doing well?
I definitely think I'm doing a lot better, yes. I feel lighter knowing that just other people go through this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And being with my boyfriend, I met my boyfriend on this trip to South Africa. Uh-huh. And I always joke that I imported him, but he came over. And... he's been a great help as well, because he grew up reformed, but he always, from a much younger age than me, he doubted that all of this was true.
Right.
Yet he managed to incorporate the good things about it that he felt were good.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, that has helped me.
Mm-hmm.
So you
say, like me, that Christianity's sort of in your DNA, and that's the way I try to describe it. Like, and I don't try to pick at it, and you know, it's kind of like that parable where Jesus said, you know, the wheat grows among the weeds, and or the weeds grow among the wheat, and you can't separate the two right now because you'll uproot the wheat. I kind of feel that way about my Christian faith and everything. That if I start picking away at it, it'll do more damage than good. So I just sort of let it go, and I don't worry about it. But it's there, right? The trick for me is to move on and really not worry about it. Just notice it and, you know, move on.
Yeah. I think also being with him as well has helped me see that... I mean, he's a good person, but he's not a Christian. And I think, well, he's got more fruit than I do. I'm the one who's tapped into the fire. How does this work?
Yeah.
And that's kind of challenged me as well. And that's one of the things that made me wonder, maybe it's just personality and other things rather than some kind of connection to the divine, you know.
Well, I think, don't you think that the more deeply we get involved in some things, like especially charismatic Christianity and, you know, Pentecostal or whatever, evangelical, the more difficult it is to, you know, separate that stuff. You know, if we just have a regular mainline experience, there's not as much trickery, you know, there's not as much stuff to sort through where, you know, I've had Pentecostal and Baptist and there's been demons and, you know,
the
apocalypse
demons.
And hell and, you know, everything like that. A lot of people don't have to deal with that stuff.
To me, now I cannot go into a charismatic church now because it brings up that anxiety.
Yeah.
And you're right, because it just wasn't a fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
My personality, things scare me, you know.
Yeah.
Mm.
Danielle, I got one more question for you.
Yeah.
What do you do now to nurture, let's say, your spiritual side or whatever?
Yeah, that's been the hardest thing for me, because I didn't know how for a long time, because we were always told that God was the most important, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas now I kind of feel like God has to be on the back burner for now. I can't deal with him, but I will. But he just has to stay there. Right?
Yeah.
One of the liberating things for me, because I always took things very seriously in terms of winning souls and that sort of thing. One of the great things for me now is that I can just enjoy moments without feeling guilty that I'm not doing something other.
Yep.
I can just enjoy moments. So that's what I try and do now. And I've started doing a few things, like I'm taking ukulele lessons.
Yep.
Which is fun, and I've started doing Pilates to relax.
Yep.
And I started going back to the gym.
Yep.
And
that's good. Like I tell people that you know, taking care of yourself or nurturing your spiritual side can mean not just doing things, but not doing things. So I remember a story many years ago. I used to see Eugene Peterson quite a bit. I'd go and hear him speak and stuff. He's the guy that wrote the Message Bible and Presbyterian pastor for many years, highly respected. But I remember going to hear him speak one time, and he said this woman came to him for counseling, and she was just so troubled, and her mind was just so anxious and everything, and needing to obey this scripture and that scripture.
Yeah.
And he told her to put her Bible away. Don't read it. And I remember the uproar in the audience. Like, people were like, you know, a pastor telling a person not to read their Bible. But, you know, that was a step of health for her, you know.
Yeah.
And it really did help to remove yourself from this habit, you know, that had become toxic for her.
Yeah. I was thinking today that there was some silly comedy movie. I can't remember what it was, but this guy represented himself in court, and he was challenging something on the basis that it went against the law or the constitution or something. And they asked him, well, which part of the law? And he was saying, well, just the general spirit of it. And I'm thinking today, you know, I know the general spirit of the Bible. I don't need to read it all the time anymore. I kind of get the general idea.
Yeah. The other day I had my Bible out because I was writing that. I did a cartoon the other day of a prayer to our laptops based on Psalm 23. So I was just following the text, and my family was there, one of my sons, and I said, you haven't seen that in a while, have you? It was my Bible, right? And he said, no, have you? So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, what are you going to... Oh, it's nighttime for you. So you're a night owl or what?
I am. So I'll probably just hang out with my boyfriend. He doesn't live in the same city as me, so we tend to see each other on the weekend.
Right. Yeah. So, this is the weekend. Yeah, this is the weekend for you.
Yeah, it's Friday night. Yeah, cool.
Well, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, stay warm.
Thank you.
Find a good place to live.
Yeah.
Take care of your asthma. Maybe it'll go away.
Yes, I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah. Nice talking with you, Danielle. We'll see you on the Lasting Supper. Anything you want to say to anybody on the Lasting Supper before you go?
I listened to Robin's podcast yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Robin Kirk.
And I really related to it.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating.
Are you inside my mind?
Yeah.
So I just want to say I appreciate that. I couldn't comment on the thing at the time. But.
Yeah, we're trying to fix that. There's a few quirks, but anyway, we're trying to fix that. But yeah, you know what? When you were talking about your anxiety and being fixated on a fearful thought, it did remind me of some of the things Robin was sharing. So cool. I'm glad you listened to her podcast.
Yeah. And I'm glad the forums are up and running. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Nice talking with you, Danielle.
You too.
Nice to meet you. Yeah, we'll see you on the Lasting Supper.
Okay, bye.
Bye.